History of the Crusades. Episode 252, The Baltic Crusades, The Prussian Crusade, Part 18, The Third Prussian Insurrection. Hello again. Last week we saw our two crusades merge as the death of Master Ernest of Livonia on the battlefield at the hands of the Lithuanians caused Grand Master Hartmann to appoint a single master to administer both Livonia and Prussia, that master being Master Conrad. Master Conrad seemed initially energized and enthusiastic about his new appointment, but reports of setbacks in Semigalia appeared to dull his enthusiasm, and by the summer of 1280, he seemed to be frozen into inaction, seemingly unwilling to venture far from his residence at Elbing. But this episode won't be spent seeing whether Master Conrad can be prodded into action. No, we will leave Master Conrad safely inside the Master's headquarters at Elbing, because we need to go back in time to Prussia and move events along the timeline until they catch up with the appointment of Master Conrad. Now, when we last left Prussia in episode 249, the Second Prussian Insurrection had finally come to an end. The war, which had lasted 15 years, had been fought to the point of exhaustion by both sides. The depleted ranks of the Teutonic Order in Prussia, and the fact that there were no crusaders coming in to assist them, meant that the order was forced to fight using guerrilla warfare type tactics, using their castles as bases for knights to ride out in small groups, attack some pagans, then wheel around and head back to the safety of the castle. The uprisings of the pagans of Prussia officially ended with the death of the leader of the Nathangians, Hercus Monta, in 1273. The situation at the end of 1273 was that the Nathangians, the Barsians, and the Varmians had all surrendered. The only Prussian pagans who remained to be defeated were the Sudovians, who had allied themselves with the Lithuanians and were attacking not the Teutonic Order, but the Nathangians and the Barsians, trying to convince them to rise up against the Order once again. As we've just mentioned, the Order at this point in time was depleted of men, and was basing itself inside individual castles, so it was not in a position where it could mount any sort of attack against the Sudovians, and it was not even in a position where it could defend its newly conquered Prussian subjects, so the Barsians and the Nathangians were left to their own devices, and were forced to try to fend off persistent and successful raids by the Sudovians. And they did a really bad job of it. Their efforts were half-hearted at best, and the Sudovians began to make inroads into Nathangian territory. Under the leadership of the talented warrior Skumand, the Sudovians even managed to attack and destroy the Teutonic castle of Bartenstein, which was being rebuilt after having been nearly destroyed during the insurrection. According to legend, the Sudovians were only pushed back after a Nathangian woman, a relative of Hercus Monta, flew into a rage and berated her sons for being cowards and for being hopeless in battle, taunting them that they could not even defend their own people. The sons were embarrassed into gathering some men from the surrounding region, and they ended up forming a sizable army and leading a charge against the attacking Sadovians, defeating them and pushing them back over the border. That seemed to mark a turning point. From that time onwards, the Sadovians seemed to be happy to remain in Sadovia, and the order was able to rebuild their castle at Bartenstein. Now, Grandmaster Anno died in 1272 after years of distinguished service, overseeing the order's activities in the Holy Roman Empire, the Baltic region, and in the Middle East. The Grand Chapter of the Teutonic Order met in July of 1273 and chose a new Grand Master, Hartmann von Heldrigen, and at the same time they confirmed Conrad von Theurberg, a senior castellan who had served as acting master on many occasions, as the new master of the order in Prussia. Confusingly, another knight named Conrad was appointed to be marshal of the Teutonic forces in Prussia. To try to reduce the problems this caused, the two men became known as Conrad the Elder, who was master of the order, and Conrad the Younger, who was marshal. Conrad the Elder was ordered to make some inroads against pagan advances by attacking the Nidrovians. The Nidrovians lived around the upper reaches of the Pregel River, in a buffer zone between Samland and Sadovia. The Nidrovians were currently aligned with the Sadovians, and the idea was to defeat the Nidrovians, then use Nidrovia as a base to push not into Sadovia, but northwards into Samogitia, a move which would assist the Livonian chapter of the order. Master Conrad sent the head of the Teutonic orders in Samland, a man named Theodoric, to gather some eager Samlanders and lead them in an attack against two Nidrovian strongholds on the banks of the upper reaches of the Pregel River. The campaign was wildly successful, with the strongholds both taken and the Samlanders laden down with so much booty from the strongholds that they barely knew what to do with themselves. Eager for more of the same, Theodoric then led an expanded force of heaps of Samlanders, eager to score themselves some more booty, along with 150 Teutonic knights, to a more distant stronghold deep inside Nidrovian territory. Again, the raid was successful, with the Samlanders seizing and destroying the log and earth fort and killing its garrison. Now on a roll, the knights and Samlanders then decided to take on Nidrovia's main fortress, a structure defended by 200 well-armed Nidrovians. After a hard-fought battle, the Samlanders and knights prevailed. Not long afterwards, Nidrovia itself surrendered to the Teutonic Order. As a chronicler at the time stated, and I quote, "There were many glorious deeds done against the Nidrovians, which are not written in this book, because it would be tedious to describe them one by one. But the Nidrovians had a large, strong army at that time, and many castles. Nevertheless, they put aside their hate and surrendered to the brothers, except for a few who went to Lithuania. And to the present day, that part of Nidrovia remains a wilderness." End quote. Interestingly, to the best of my knowledge, that part of Nidrovia remains a wilderness today, like literally to now. superimposing an old map of Nadrovia onto Google Earth, as far as I can tell, much of what was once Nadrovia now lies in the southeastern corner of the Russian territory of Kaliningrad Oblast, where it borders modern-day Poland. And much of that region is covered by an area of wilderness known as Park Krajobrazowy, which lies in Poland, but much of which extends into Russian territory. So, there you go. Now, as we've said, one of the objectives in conquering Nadrovia was to use the region as a base from which the Order could attack Samojedzia to the north. But once Nadrovia was conquered, it was also clear that it might be the first step in creating another land corridor between Prussia and Livonia. The Order's stronghold at Memel was located on the Samojedzian coastline, and should a secure land corridor be created between Nadrovia and Memel, that would enable Memel to be used as a base to attack Samojedzia. And really, from Memel, it was only a relatively short journey northwards up the Baltic coastline to Kurland. And from there, you just needed to travel around the coast a bit further, then travel inland up the Daugava River, and you were in Riga. So, really, establishing some sort of secure overland travel route between Nadrovia and Memel seemed like the obvious next priority for the Order in Prussia. So, that's what happened. The Teutonic Order pushed northwards out of Nadrovia, while fighters from Memel made their way inland up the Memel River, clearing the way of pagans and attempting to create a secure passageway down which a large army could march in the future, on its way to attacking Samojedzia. The first pocket of resistance the Order faced was at a pagan stronghold at Ragnit, which lay to the northwest of Königsberg near the coast. Now, by all reports, Ragnit was a pretty impressive stronghold. The fortress was constructed from logs and rammed earth, and stood on top of a hill. It was large enough to contain a fish pond inside it, stocked with freshwater fish, making it a handy supply of both food and water in case of a siege. It was considered to be impregnable, and in fact had previously withstood an attack by a large Russian army. But despite its reputation, in 1275, Master Conrad ordered Theodoric of Samland to sail up the coast to Ragnit with a force of 1,000 men, with a view to attacking and taking the fortress. Theodoric sailed northwards, disembarked with his 1,000 men and a pile of equipment, and made his way to Ragnit, where he moved into position up the hill upon which the fortress stood and set up some catapult machines. The defenders posted men along the fortress walls so that any attempt to scale the walls could be easily repelled. However, the exposed defenders soon fell victim to Latin Christian archers and they were forced back. Missiles from the catapult machines did even more damage to the defenders, and eventually the defenders were forced away from the walls entirely, allowing the attackers to scale the walls and enter the fortress. The men under Theodoric's command killed the defenders, then destroyed the fortress entirely with a combination of fire and demolition. Deciding that they might as well secure the surrounding region while they were at it, Theodoric's men then went on to attack a nearby fortress and took that with ease in a campaign which lasted less than a day. Now, Ragnit was in a region which lay just to the north of Samland, a region known as Skalovia. Despite the loss of one of their key fortresses, the Skalovians were not prepared to throw their hands into the air and surrender to the Teutonic Order. Instead, they went on the offensive, travelling down the coast to the Order's castle at Labiau, attacking it, overcoming its defenders, killing those defenders, and burning the castle to the ground. Not surprisingly, Master Conrad decided that this attack couldn't go unanswered, so he ordered a bunch of Teutonic knights and some Samland fighters to go into Skalovia and teach the pesky Skalovians a lesson. And that's exactly what happened. The knights from the Teutonic Order led their forces on a Skalovian killing rampage, burning, plundering, and most especially killing their way through the Skalovian settlements. The leader of the Skalovians assembled an army and attempted to oppose the knights, but the army was ambushed by the Christian forces on their approach, and many were killed, with the rest fleeing into the forests. The destruction wrought by the Order's forces was placing pressure on many Skalovian leaders to come to terms with the Order. However, William Urban reports in his book The Prussian Crusade that while many Skalovian noblemen did approach the Order with genuine offers of surrender, others convinced small groups of knights to accompany them into the forests to talk terms, then killed the knights instead of surrendering. William Urban pointed out that even the Christians who were well versed in the language and culture of the Skalovians had difficulty telling the genuine peace offers from the ambush-setting pretender surrenders. In the end, though, events panned out pretty much the same as they had in neighbouring Nadrovia. The majority of the people in the region wanted to come to terms with the Order so they could live in peace, and those who couldn't live under the Latin Christian thumb were forced into exile, often moving to join the pagan resistance to the Order in Lithuania. Okay, so Master Conrad has now subdued Nadrovia and Skalovia, and is making his way slowly northwards, securing his land corridor. So, what is his next move? Is Master Conrad going to attack Samogitia? No. While Master Conrad would have loved to attack Samogitia, he couldn't. Why couldn't he? Because the Teutonic Knights from the Teutonic Order were suddenly needed in Pogasania. Why were they needed in Pogasania? Well, because the Third Prussian Insurrection had just started. Now, Pogasania has been flying under the radar a bit, so let's step back a little and see who the Pogasanians were. They were a tribe of Prussians who were located on the Baltic coast between the Pomasanians and the Varmians. Now, apparently things were all quiet on the Pomasanian front until the year 1276, when a new castellan moved into one of the key strategic castles in Pogasanian territory. Apparently, unlike his predecessors, this particular castellan was itching for a fight, and went out of his way to seek out and defeat any warlike Prussians he came across. Unfortunately, some of those warlike Prussians happened to be Sadovians, and the leader of the Sadovians, Skumand, was rather put out by this. So he asked the Lithuanians if they wouldn't mind joining him on a rampage through Prussia to teach the Latin Christians a lesson. The Lithuanians thought this was a terrific idea, So in the year 1277, Scumand led an army of 4,000 Sadovians and thousands of Lithuanians on a Prussian rampage. They didn't attack any major Teutonic strongholds, but they moved through Kolm and down to Marienwerder and then into Pogosania. When the Pogosanians and the nearby Bartians realized that the Teutonic Order was struggling to really do anything at all to stop the marauding Sadovians and Lithuanians, they rose in rebellion, attacking Teutonic fighters and Latin Christian interests. They quickly scored some major successes, capturing the castle at Elbing and the stronghold at Christborg. This is what stopped Master Conrad in his tracks and had him turning his sights away from Samogitia towards Pogosania. In the end, the Third Prussian Insurrection was put down nearly as quickly as it started. Theodoric of Samland managed to talk the Varmians and the Natangians down, and their leaders swore new oaths of loyalty to the order. Then Master Conrad arrived on the scene with the Teutonic army and immediately began laying waste to regions in and around Pogosania, killing rebellious men and capturing women and children so they could be resettled in more convenient locations where their activities could be closely monitored. Interestingly, those Pogosanian rebels who weren't killed or captured made their way into exile, not to Lithuania, but to Samogitia, where they were welcomed with open arms and were put to work preparing for the upcoming expected invasion by the master of the Prussian order. But unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, for the Samogitians and Pogosanians who were busy preparing defences in Samogitia, the order won't be invading anytime soon. No, the Third Prussian Insurrection has shown Master Conrad that there's a threat closer to home which needs to be dealt with first. So, join me next week as Master Conrad goes to war against the Sadovians. Until next week, bye for now. This podcast is powered by Patreon. If you can spare $1 per month and would like to support this podcast, go to patreon.com and search for History of the Crusades, or go to our website crusadespod.com and click on the Patreon link. Your $1 contribution will mean you get access to an extra episode every fortnight on topics related to the Crusades, and it means that you are powering the History of the Crusades podcast. Thank you to all who have signed up so far.